and welcome back to Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We are here speaking about The Fruit and the Seed, which is the NE9, or the 9th annual exhibition, which is an open call exhibition where we invite resident artists living in the Bahamas, or Bahamian artists living in the Bahamas, or Bahamian artists living abroad, anyone who kind of has a relationship with the Bahamas, to send in work, which then gets looked at by a curatorial team. In fact, this year we had a jury involving locals and international curators. And that show happens every 2 years. And this year it's opening on Thursday night at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas at 6 p.m. And we are, for the next few weeks, going to be meeting some of the artists in that show. We heard from Dave Smith before the break. And we are now going to turn to welcome Averia Wright back to the studio, back home to the country and to the studio. Hi, Averia.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good to be home?
Yes.
Good to get out of the cold?
Yes, very much so.
Good. So you've been on the show before, but, you know, we'll give you a little recap. So Avery is an artist. She worked at the National Art Gallery for 3 years?
Four years?
Mm-hmm. I can't believe how long I've been here. Oh, my Lord. I still feel like I'm kind of the new girl, but I guess I'm really not. I've been one of the longest working people there because there's been the turnover. Yes. And you were there for 4 years as an assistant curator. Mm-hmm. And then you went off to get your master's.
Yes.
And now you're back as exhibiting in the show.
Yes, I'm exhibiting. This is going to be my second national exhibition.
Right, were in the last one too.
Yes.
I remember. And you're kind of continuing to explore some of the things. Like, I remember you did the cast baskets,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am continuing in that same scheme. So using the straw material kind of like as a guide for the work that I continue to make. Mm-hmm.
And why straw? I mean, I know we talked about it before, but in case someone missed that show or doesn't.
My mother and essentially all of her family are from the straw market industry. So my mother and my grandmother, my aunts, all are affiliated with the straw market.
Mm-hmm.
So my work deals with the ambivalence I've felt as a child about the straw industry, because knowing that it provided for me and being a part of the industry very intimately,
mm-hmm.
I also had these reservations about certain things, like the way that we treated the tourists versus mm-hmm. Locals, and the way the tourists treated us, and mm-hmm. so forth. So a lot of that kind of sticked with me from my childhood, and that's the kind of things that I'm responding to mm-hmm. today.
Because, again, there's that dichotomy as well, right?
Yes.
So, again, you know, this idea of the they're going to come, and there's the happy native, and
yes,
you know. But in fact, of course, we all know the reality can be like really very different, and the way, yeah, the in fact, I shouldn't probably talk about it too much, but I'm on a jury that I'll be vague about, and it's like a tourism competition,
okay,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to jury it, like, and it's the people had to go off and like do activities and, you know, create like a travel log, and someone's going to win the competition, you know. And I was looking at the images, and I was like, there are no Bahamian people in these images.
Exactly.
Right, so the experience that we're selling is an experience devoid of locals.
Right. Yeah.
And
the locals that we do portray are very, very curated.
Yeah.
Very curated, yeah. So, you know, that really struck me, that I was just like, you know, and obviously I'd thought about it before, but now it's really that I don't even know how many people it was, but I was going through these images, and I was like, oh my God, when am I going to see a Bahamian? When am mm-hmm. I going to see a person of color? When,
right.
Who's... you know, an agent in the pictures too isn't mm-hmm. isn't maybe just driving a boat or
right.
something in the background, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that being in the straw market is mm-hmm. is an interesting experience. So, so you've used straw as kind of a way, but you're using it to cast bronze sculptures, which
yes.
are these really heavy objects,
very
and
heavy.
That kind of. Does that speak to like the burden of that? I mean, I'm always trying, because you know the material
tied it
itself
to the burden.
Is, yeah.
For me, casting the objects more so is about the process.
Mm-hmm.
Where when you're casting bronze and you're doing a burnout, because straw burns out in the kiln,
mm-hmm.
You can never be sure exactly what is it you're going to get out of
mm-hmm.
it. So for me, more so, it's about this idea that casting is supposed to be an exact replica of whatever it is you're putting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily getting that out of it, for me, is kind of exciting.
Getting like imperfections,
yes,
somehow.
Yes, the imperfections
right.
in itself are pretty amazing to me, because it speaks to the industry itself,
mm-hmm.
Of this idea. Like you say, we buy into this idea that we are
mm-hmm.
This perfect paradise. And there's a lot of imperfections that you ignore or gloss over. And so that's the kind of things that I want to see. I want to see the imperfections in the bronze pieces. Yeah. So that's pretty exciting for me. Rather than the whole, is it heavy? Because the issues are heavy. It's not necessarily that.
Now, I just remember that video you did of like carrying the bag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there was, you know, because again, you look at a straw basket and you think, oh, I can just pick that up with my pinky. But then you did these straw baskets in the last, where you did a performance, a performative piece in a way. And now you've got like the breastplate.
Yeah, so the bronze armor actually started for me doing another performance piece. So I use kind of like performance like a catalyst for the way that I treat the objects that I make.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I made a performance piece where I wrapped myself in straw.
Yeah, I saw that. Cocoon. It was so brilliant.
So it was kind of like this idea of protection. And then when I put it on and perform it, it was kind of like this idea of suffocation.
Mm.
So it has like the juxtaposition of both sides of the situation for me. I didn't even know I was going to have that experience when I did the performance. So that came out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so
which probably is not unlike being an actual armor too.
Exactly.
Because I would imagine it's heavy and difficult to move in and probably got some people killed as much as it protected them because they couldn't run away or whatever.
Exactly.
Right? So yeah.
So the cocoon spurred the idea of armor for me. And I was like, I want to really make straw armor. And like thinking about the fact that straw armor really wouldn't protect anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the bronze part of it is the fact that the bronze may protect somebody, but the weight of it, like you said, you can't move in it. And then the idea of the imperfections, and it's easily penetrable because there are obviously holes inside the armor. So a lot of that stuff is kind of what I was dealing with the work that I have in this show now. It's called Elevating the Blue Light Special. So in the straw market, when you're trying to get a customer to come to you, to your stall, you find different means of speaking to them because, hi, can I help you, doesn't work over 100 times.
Right.
So you want to try different tactics. People go from calling them celebrity names to saying things, catchphrases that they would know, like the blue light special, which came from a Kmart commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So they would say, I got the blue light special going on or whatever, come over, and that will get their attention because most of our tourists are from North America.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll come over when you say some tagline like that, and that's one that stuck away with me from my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the blue light special is still going on, so
so don't go to Kmart.
Right. So basically, the blue light special, I decided that, okay, the work that I'm making is elevating the blue light special.
Yeah.
It's always a humor aspect for me.
Yeah.
So
that's why that video of you carrying the straw basket was also kind of funny, right? Because
you're
kind of like heaving this thing along that was supposed to be sort of, you're supposed to swing jauntily off your arm on your way as you trip to the beach, and you were kind of always dragging it along.
So the dealing with the armor piece has a lot to do with taking something like the straw object, which is sold for very cheaply, actually, which is ridiculous for me because it's all handmade from the process of getting the thatch from the palms, drying those out.
Well, unless you're buying a whole tailor bag, in which case it isn't very cheap.
Exactly. But honestly, that's what it's valued.
Yeah, sure.
Because, I was doing the math with my mom yesterday. She sells some bags wholesale, and I was like, this is ridiculously...
It is.
It's not producing any kind of...
It isn't. And frankly, like, actually, in any kind of creative industry, I remember when I used to be a writer, and even quite frankly now, if I divide my hours into hours, but when I was writing and for magazines, and somebody would be like, a lawyer asked me once, so what do you make an hour? And I thought about the research and visiting the show and writing the piece, and I was like, yeah, about 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about 2 cents an hour.
Much.
You know, when I get my $150 for that article that I spent
finally
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about the decision to, because it's suspended, these very heavy objects are not on a pedestal, which would be the most kind of obvious way to display it, right? But they're actually suspended from the ceiling and they're kind of floating.
Yeah.
So what was, speak to me about that, like, conscious choice.
So for me, like I was saying earlier, the straw industry has provided for me. It has given me this life that I have, which I'm very grateful for. And I think about the idea that I didn't cast them in aluminum. I didn't cast them in whatever sand, whatever else material. I casted them in bronze, which is, and you think about art or bronze pieces that are in the public sphere, you think they're very important.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm still justifying the fact that it's an important industry. It is something that we should preserve. And I like the idea of them hanging, because then we think of them as if they were wearing them rather than sitting on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. It changes it to being, oh, this is that object that I have to look at. Mm-hmm. It more becomes, oh, I could be wearing that armor. Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you're in a clothing store, yeah, and it's kind of there.
Definitely.
For you could almost put it on.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And have you, your family that are involved in the straw industry, have they seen the work, and what's yes. their reaction to it?
Well, my dad is really involved in the process. Mm-hmm. Because building the armor itself is all handmade from straw. Mm-hmm. So the same way you would build a straw bag and you have mm-hmm. all the parts that you have to put together, mm-hmm. he's a big part of the logistics of making that happen. Because obviously when I'm making it, I could go ahead and ask another straw somebody to make it, but they wouldn't really understand mm-hmm. what I'm doing or why I'm mm-hmm. doing it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't ask any of those questions. So, it's perfect to have him on my team. But then, of course, I steal all of my mom's straw, so she's yeah. definitely a part of that as well. So it's very much a family-oriented business of my work mm-hmm. and the making process. So they... My mom doesn't really get it, honestly, mm-hmm. because she's a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. So everything is about the idea of making more of them mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. What the charge is and stuff or whatever. And
how you can replicate that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily about what it means and that stuff or whatever.
Because that's actually another issue. If mm-hmm. the basket is burned up in the process, each one's going to be unique. Because
yes.
quite often when you make a cast, you can make many casts,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all, in a way, the business advantage of it is that you can replicate ad infinitum, theoretically.
Right.
And that's why we got like Rodin sculptures all over the world, which are of the same thing. Mm-hmm. And everyone thinks they're looking at the original and you're like, no.
Well.
So that's actually kind of interesting too. I hadn't thought about that. Whereas you make it and it's the unique piece and that's
yeah.
it. You've yeah. only got one shot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when it's sold, it's gone.
That's true. Well, hopefully it will.
Yeah.
I know you sold a couple at the last show. So
yeah.
And there's nowhere to do that here except there's a foundry, right? But that's
in Abaco. Yeah.
But these you cast in the United States?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I did cast them at school at Ohio University.
And how's the reaction to... like the straw work from professors and fellow students that aren't from this context?
They don't have a clue.
Yeah.
because straw to them is something completely different. So
yeah.
we think of straw as the palm thatch and
yeah.
so forth. They think of corn as like corn husk and corn
mm-hmm.
Soaks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to explain what straw was,
mm-hmm.
You know, from building it from scratch and
mm-hmm.
understanding that. So that was a part of me explaining that in my thesis,
yeah.
what is straw.
Yeah, no, because that's actually really interesting. And we see these things as visual language that we understand, right? And
right.
that we can access quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think about putting that somewhere else and it's like you suddenly realize that people come with a completely different
yeah.
kind of
mm-hmm.
understanding, right?
Yeah, and then I found out actually that I'm still doing the research that I'm probably the only artist that's casting straw. So
wow.
that's interesting.
That's really interesting. Gives you an edge.
Yeah.
Excellent. We like that because you're out there on the international stage doing something nobody else is doing
right.
and representing the Bahamas at the same time.
Yep.
So that's awesome. Thanks so much, Avery. We're going to go to another quick break and then we're going to hear from Jody. We've heard from Dave Smith and Avery Wright. We're going to hear from Jody and then we can all just jump in together and carry on this conversation about kind of many things, but our culture and how that's affected by tourism and how we grapple with those ideas and the image that we sell to the world and to ourselves, I think. To a certain degree. And some of those are themes that are being explored in the National Exhibition, which is entitled The Fruit and the Seed, and that opens on Thursday night, tomorrow night, at 6 p.m. at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas from 6 to 9 p.m. And as usual, everybody is invited. Everyone everywhere is invited, but specifically if you can get in the car and get there easily, then do that. Come downtown and meet the artists and join in the celebration. We are going to go to a short break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.